Hi, this is Gary Chalk, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
My name is Adam of Grayskull. When good is threatened by the power of Eternia, I was summoned to the future by the last of mankind to defend them in their hour of need. But my old enemy, Skeletor, followed me. Now, here in the future, he has found new allies to help him in his never-ending fight against all that is good. Yet on Primus, I too have found new brave friends and a new family. Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic, we struggle against the forces of darkness. Good against evil. The battle continues.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 83rd chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as always, is TFG1 Mike. Mike, what do you think about the state of the world and our journey here as we prepare for our first trip to space?
I would rather have Donald Trump be president of these planets. Oh my god.
So what do you remember about the new adventures of He-Man? Because yes, folks, that is what we're getting into next. He-Man and She-Ra, the Filmation series, has been put to bed for now, and we're going into the new adventures of He-Man, the 1990 series. So did you watch this as a child?
Yes, I did. Did you?
No, and why did you?
Okay, so... All right, so this one's going to be interesting, folks. I am someone who did watch part of The New Adventures of He-Man. Optimus Solo is not, so... But I have not watched it since I was a kid, so it's been... Do the math for me. 90 plus 2017, or 2017 minus 90 is how many years?
27 years.
Okay, yeah, it's been 27 years since I've seen this damn show, okay? We all, doesn't matter who you are, any 80s kid, we were all enamored with He-Man and She-Ra, and, well, maybe to a lesser extent She-Ra, but specifically the He-Man Filmation cartoon back in the day. And it went away, and we moved on to other things like Turtles and other stuff. So by the time 1990 came on, and I'm like, oh, He-Man's back, yay! I looked at it as a 10-year-old, and I'm like, what is this, and why is it on my TV? This
I can tell you
is,
what I...
Okay, wait. I got one more thing and I'll let you go. I watched about a month and a half of cartoons from this series, and I, as a 10-year-old, I hated it. I loathed... I'm like, hashtag not my He-Man. You know, like, hashtag not my president. And that's the... I'm going to use that hashtag every episode of this podcast in the promotion of this. Not my
He-Man. Nice.
So what about you? What's your...
For me, I can tell you why I didn't watch this. I didn't watch this because I, like you, was into He-Man, into G.I. Joe, into Transformers, like everybody knows, you know, 80s classic cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And then as each one of those went away, we kind of transitioned into, you know, the likes of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and other things. And the 1990 time period, you know, this comes out and you're like, oh, you know, back to, you know... This is what you wanted as a child. When Transformers ended, when G.I. Joe ended, when He-Man ended, you wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted more episodes or a new cartoon or whatever. Like, I used to, like, and this is before the days of the internet, really.
Obviously.
I used to scour the TV guide
mm-hmm.
to try to find, like, where is more Transformers that I can watch? Like, is there... a new series? Is there a new episode somewhere? Is there a rerun somewhere that I can watch? Like, I used to do that, and I remember being so excited when I found, I think, the reruns of Transformers at Once Upon a Time, that they were starting to show them on, I don't even remember what network it was, but I was like, oh, I can watch it again. You know, this isn't internet Netflix era where you can just go find everything. This isn't an era where stuff is on DVD or Blu-ray or different things. Like, your only option to watch this stuff was VHS tapes or actual programming on television.
Mm-hmm.
So when the idea of something like He-Man comes up, it's like, oh, cool, a new series. I saw one picture of Skeletor, and I said, oh, never mind, that's not He-Man. I don't know what this is. They're calling it He-Man, but it's clearly not. So I didn't even like it. Didn't even register on me that that was a He-Man show. I was like, no, that's something weird that I don't need to see. So I didn't watch it. I stayed away from it at all. Because for me, it's much less not my He-Man. It's hashtag not my Skeletor.
We'll use both of them.
I don't know who. We'll get into it, but there's problems with the character design in this series, big time. So yeah, I didn't watch it as a kid. This is my first exposure to it, and we'll get into how that worked out here in a little bit. But any other thoughts from your childhood, or as we get ready for this new adventure?
I know there are diehard He-Man fans out there that love this stuff, that love these action figures, that wanted more toys, you know, in 1990, and they enjoyed this. I want to hear from, because this, our coverage of this runs from episode 83 of the podcast to when?
25 episodes.
25, so.
108,
109. Oh, God. Yeah, so between episode 83, chapter 83, and chapter 108 or so, I want everybody to write into us and let us know why in the hell you liked New Adventures of He-Man. Whether it be the cartoon, the toys, whatever, because I see nothing in this cartoon to like at all. And I'm not going to say I'm almost certain, but it's going to be a pretty bad thing, folks, when Kevin and I both agree on how much bad is in this.
Well, I think the thing that was appealing to people, and this is just a guess because I'm not mm-hmm. going to try to speak for them. They should write in and comment on Twitter or Facebook, whatever. Let us know what the appeal was. I've read some stuff on the... I was checking out the DVDs on Amazon to try to see if I could purchase them for relatively cheap, and I did read some of the reviews on there. And it seems like the consensus is from most of the people that were writing positive reviews for the DVD set... Because most of them aren't writing anything. They're not actually reviewing the DVD set. It seems like they're all just reviewing the
cartoon
TV series.
Yeah.
Which I never understood. Like, I don't care what you thought of the cartoon. If I'm looking at the DVD, I'm clearly interested in purchasing
it. Yeah.
So tell me about the actual DVD set. Don't tell me about the cartoon that I already know about. But anyways, reading these reviews, it seems like the universal praise was for people that were dying for more of a continuity-based storyline. So... Mm-hmm. You know, instead of what we're used to in the 80s with all the episodic cartoons, this is going to have some more through lines, it seems like, or at least some more continuity. Now, I don't know if that's fair to say based on these three episodes that we're talking about today, because it is part of a five-parter, so there should be continuity if you're having a multi-part arc. But mm-hmm. we'll see if that carries through with the rest of the episodes. But it seems like they're more so praising the writing and or the like through lines with the story. Because there's no possible way anybody could be praising the visual, the character design, the look, or the aesthetic of this cartoon, because it is hideous.
Yep.
Like, why do you have Skeletor as a completely blue body like Skeletor would be, and then give him a green face, or a gray face, or whatever the hell that's supposed to be, and then give him hair, or a wig, or a helmet, or whatever? Like, this is bizarre looking. Like, at least He-Man somewhat looks like you would expect He-Man to look like, even if it's a little bit... like minor league or like the B level of what He-Man would look like. But I think that's why. I don't know. You tell me, He-Man, New Adventure fans, is that what it is? Is it just the stories? Is it the writing? Because it can't be the voice acting and it can't be the visuals.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to write in, like Kevin said, you can do it via Twitter, at Geekcast Radio. Mine is at TFU and Mike. His is at Optimus Solo. You can actually, if you want to tweet at our show, it's at Power of Grayskull. If you want to email us and send us a longer response, feedback at geekcastradio.com, put in the subject line Pogs, M-I-S, and send us those emails. The only thing, just as initial thoughts as I'm going through this, the voice acting is, it's not horrible, but it's strange of who voices some of the characters.
Well, the thing is, it's so inconsistent. Like, this is weird because we're coming off of a Filmation series where you only have, like, five voice actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that anything is going to be better than that if you have more of a variety of voices, etc. But it's all over the map. There's some, like, decent voice acting. There's some really good voice acting. I'll get into which ones I like. Mm-hmm. But then there's some, like, just janky, like, weird choices for voices for certain other characters that it's just kind of throwing me off. It's very inconsistent so far. Mm-hmm. But maybe they'll settle into their roles as we get further into the series. So in this episode of Masters of Space, we will be giving you our thoughts on the first three episodes of the series. Episode 1, A New Beginning. Episode 2, Quest for the Crystals. And Episode 3, The Heat. So we hope you're ready. It's time to leave Eternia behind and get lost in space.
No, The Heat has nothing to do with Melissa McCarthy.
It should. That'd make this better.
No, it wouldn't. It would make it worse.
Episode 1, A New Beginning, Part 1 of 5. The air date that I have for this, and sometimes, like we always say, these dates can be hit or miss. Sometimes they're reliable, and sometimes they're not. Saturday, September 1st, or Saturday, or September 10th, which probably wasn't a Saturday, 1990. September 1990 is when this thing started. I think the whole five-parter is written by somebody named Jack Olesker.
Yep.
Mike, have you ever heard of him before?
Nope.
Okay. Plot synopsis for A New Beginning. The planet of Primus is in danger from constant attacks by the mutant residents of its sister world, Denebria.
Somebody call Unicron.
The planet's ruler, Master Sebrian, realizes that the time has come to bring the power of the good and the way of the magic from the past to defend Primus against the mutants. Two space pilots, Captain Hydran and Flipshot, are sent to the world of Eternia in the past to find the power to defend them. But when they reach Eternia, they wind up as prisoners of the evil Skeletor, or what they're going to call Skeletor. When one of his men captures them, but when Skeletor learns of their mission, he tricks them into thinking that he is the force of good they're looking for. Meanwhile, Eternia's defender, Prince Adam, aka He-Man, has been informed by the Sorceress of Grayskull that he must go to the future to defend Primus. He reveals his secret to his parents, then goes to Snake Mountain to stop Skeletor from tricking Hydran and Flipshot. He and Skeletor are engulfed in battle, and as the portal back to Primus is closing fast, Hydran and Flipshot decide to take both He-Man and Skeletor back with them, unsure of which one is the hero they need. Back on Primus, the two enemies continue to fight until He-Man proves his worth when he stops a mutant attack. Skeletor forms an alliance with the mutants and retreats, and He-Man is accepted by Master Sebrian as the new defender of Primus. So, this is our initial foray into the new adventures. We're immediately introduced to some new characters, and then we go back in time to Eternia and meet some familiar faces?
Not at all.
Mike, what did you think of the premise of how we're going to start this thing?
Can we go back to She-Ra, please?
Cause you wanted out of She-Ra.
I know I did. But I've said this for the past 5 years. I knew New Adventures was crap. I knew it was, and just...
I was holding out hope.
Yeah, well, hope has been shot in the head.
Okay, what do you think of the idea that they're going to connect somehow to Eternia?
Okay, my general thoughts, because the way you lay out the scripts, you have general thoughts before the good moments, the bad moments, all that stuff. The first 8 minutes of this episode has nothing to do with He-Man outside of the opening. Like, you look at the Transformers, the movie. I swear to God, if I have to say 1986 one more fucking time, but it's one of those things where you look at the beginning of Transformers, the movie, you have a strange planet. You have the villain of the piece coming in, eating the planet. And then you have the Transformers logo. That opening to Transformers, the movie, probably takes maybe 3.5 minutes. Maybe a little more than that. I could be off. I'm not watching it right now. I'll time it next podcast. But it's one of those things where this episode takes a full 8 minutes to set up why these people need to go back in time to find the power of the good in the way of the magic, whatever that stupid fucking catchphrase is. And it has nothing to do with He-Man whatsoever until they bring him in because they need, you know.
All right, hold on.
My head hurts.
We are exposed to some familiar things. We're exposed to Snake Mountain, the Royal Palace, Eternia, He-Man, Skeletor, King Randor, Queen Marlena, and the Sorceress. What do you think of that aspect of the episode?
The Sorceress, the King and Queen, and He-Man specifically, not Prince Adam. I'll talk about him in a minute. They all look fine. The Palace of Eternos looks fine. Snake Mountain looks like garbage. Prince Adam, he's a bit girlish. I mean, he has a girl-style haircut, even more so than the Filmation version, because there's
one shot, it looks like he's dressed up like Conan.
Yeah, well, there's one shot in this episode. It's after they go into the future and whatever else, when Sebrian says, "Oh, you can be my nephew," or yada yada yada. There's a point where you see a side of his, I think it's his the right side of his head, where part of his hair is in some sort of pigtail, ponytail. So I'm like, what? Is this a guy or what? I don't know what the hell that is. Skeletor looks like...
I just don't get it. His eyes, like, they make him look like he's retarded. Like, he's like one of those dolls where, like, the eye would, like, jiggle around or roll around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, one of those stuffed animals or something where the eye would just go crazy.
He's like Derpy Hooves from My Little Pony. Oh, my God!
Basically, but what I'm confused about is, okay, so you have Eternia that looks somewhat like Eternia.
Mm-hmm.
King Randor almost looks like an exact replica of what he looked like mm-hmm. in the Filmation series. Like, just not quite drawn as well, but it's the same design.
He has so a beard, though, doesn't he? Or no? I don't remember.
Well, I thought he looked very similar to what he did in the Filmation series, right? And He-Man, you know, he's still the blonde, you know, muscular guy, so I can get that there's some little variation there. But why would you get some stuff so close and then get other stuff so far away?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the reasoning for making Skeletor look like that? Why is he not a skeleton type being? I could get some little variations, like change this or change that, or give him a different, vest type thing or whatever that he was wearing, or belt or whatever. But I don't understand why you would change him to the point. Like, why give Queen Marlena, whatever it was, blue hair or purple hair or whatever she had?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that.
My question would be now, and this is more so for the fans than it is for you. We all know, 1984, the toys came first for Transformers, and then the cartoon came. So my question is, did Mattel have these toys already done, and then the cartoon came, or did the cartoon happen before the... Because that's the thing. As much as you hate this, and I hate it too, let's face it. Most of the time, there are good stories, but most of the time, the 80s cartoons were toy commercials, for the most part, when they changed things up and things like that to get new product in and stuff like that. But that's what I want to know. Did the toys for New Adventures come before the cartoon, or vice versa? Because whatever happened there, that's what dictated whatever the hell this version of Skeletor is.
Yeah, it's just weird to me, because honestly... It doesn't also... The other thing weird about Skeletor specifically, just kind of getting into him,
mm-hmm.
is that his character design doesn't match the way he's being played.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would make more sense to put the way Alan Oppenheimer voiced Skeletor on this design
mm-hmm.
than it would to be the way that Campbell Lane is playing it. Like, Campbell Lane is portraying this character as a sinister, like, very calculated, dark voiceover. Like, mm-hmm. that fits more with the design from the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it just comes off as being weird because it doesn't, like, he looks like someone that you wouldn't be able to look in the eye and take seriously, yet he's, like, almost more serious than any Skeletor version we've gotten that we've covered so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just weird to me. But, mm-hmm. We're introduced to a whole bunch of characters in this episode, not just the Eternians that we're used to, but we get all these new characters on Primus. So, for the good, we have Master Sebrian, Hydran, Flipshot, the scientists, which are Geppel, Alcon, Krax, and Werban, and Meldok. We have some robots or droids, Gleep, and I can't remember what the other guy's name is. He's like, you are. And then we have the bad guys, which would be Flog, Slushhead, Hoove, Karate. What do you think of all these characters we're being introduced to?
Flog should have been Skeletor. Slushhead should have been called Merman, because that's essentially what his voice is. It's not Alan Oppenheimer, obviously, but the way the character of Slushhead works is he's got water in his little fishbowl of a head,
right?
To give him that watery type sound. And I know that was horrible, but just the only thing, I think it's as we go along. I think it's in the second episode. I forget. It's either in the second or the third episode where I equate Slushhead to another 80s character. They're okay. I mean, my problem is He-Man, while yes, the Filmation stuff, we did go to various planets and things like that. And I know this is not Filmation anymore. I get that. This is never going to be Filmation. Because after all, it's 27 years old and no one's going to go back to this. But it's one of those things where, yes, in Filmation, they did go to outer space and they did do various space adventures and things. I don't want to see a cartoon series where He-Man is in space all the damn time. This felt more to me like a knockoff version of Thundercats than anything He-Man.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see how it's more... some of the other series that had come on are around the same time. From what I can tell, the toys came out first, but I still question who designed Skeletor as a toy or as a cartoon. It just looks bizarre. So let's get to the actual good and the bad as far as what you liked, what you disliked about the actual episode. We talked about how, you know, they're going to Eternia, they're bringing Skeletor and He-Man back. It's which one's good, which one's bad. And then they're getting aligned with their new groups of cronies. So anything you liked there?
The only thing that I like about this is I like Campbell Lane as the voice of Skeletor. Because yeah. I think his voice, he's trying to be, obviously once we meet, you know, when we first meet him, he's evil Skeletor and he's going to be diabolical and whatever else. And I think Campbell Lane's voice does fit the animation model for a while, but where it doesn't fit is later. The voice fits, but the characterization doesn't really fit of Skeletor. I can tell as these first three episodes progressed, Skeletor is getting increasingly annoyed with Flog and having right. to, you know, not be the evil overlord that we know him to be. Like, making Skeletor a henchman, I mean, it's okay if it's Hordak or Horde Prime, but come on, Flog, who wants to be a henchman for Flog?
I do, though, like the fact that it shows us how manipulating Skeletor can be, that he's going to allow this guy to think that he's the leader and still kind of control what happens, control the decisions, control who does what. Mm-hmm. It just kind of shows another evil side of him, so I think that's interesting. But yeah. I don't know if I buy Flog as the leader of this group with or without Skeletor involved. Like, he just, I don't know, he just seems like another one of the henchmen to me.
Yeah.
So, but I do appreciate that they at least visit Eternia, so there is a connection there. If they would have just done this whole space thing and He-Man would have been there, like, that would have been lame. So I do appreciate that they somewhat tried to connect. I don't get the idea of why they want to be in space. I don't get the idea of why they want to do this as, you know, whoever came up with the whole setup for the series seems like they were just stretching to try to be like Star Wars. We have droids. We have, you know, all these different creatures. We're in different planets now. So, I mean, I don't know if that was what they were doing or what, but I don't understand why we need to take He-Man into space. It just seems weird. But that's getting into the negatives. They just happen to have a time machine or a time vehicle that they've built. That's ready when this guy decides that, hey, we need to go back in time and get the power of the good in the way of the magic. I can't say it without laughing. All
right. I can't say it without nearly cringing and falling over out of my chair.
Us with the power of the good and the way of the magic.
How many times now in three episodes?
Yeah, I mean, Adam the niece, or Adam the nephew, I'm sorry, that I don't, and these people just believe Master Sebrian. Okay, sure. Mysterious guy shows up out of nowhere. No, he's your long lost nephew. Yeah, right. The other problem I have, and I'm only going to probably mention it in this episode because it's only worth mentioning in the first episode because it's going to happen continuously throughout the rest of the season here, the series. If Adam/He-Man is in the future, how can he use the power of Eternia if Primus is a completely different planet and we're, what did they say, it was 10,000 years in the future or 1,000? That makes no damn sense.
Yeah. And the sorceress can still speak to him.
Through his eye.
Only through his eye. The other thing about Eternia that I didn't necessarily care for is the way that Adam reveals to the king and the queen that he's He-Man.
See, I like that because he's leaving and he's not expecting to come back.
It because he's leaving, but he does it in a really weird way.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, I'm going to pull this sword out and do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you should have just been like, you know, mom, dad, I got to tell you something because I need to go on this quest. I am He-Man. You know what I mean? Like, don't just transform in front of him and be like, hey, it's been me the whole time.
Yeah. And I am sorry. Well, I do love Gary Chalk as the voice of He-Man. I really do. Doug Parker, I think, does Adam's voice, and that's a horrible, horrible voice for Prince Adam. I hate the transformation sequence.
I have that written down. It's a terrible transformation
sequence. It's not even the fact that it's a terrible transformation sequence. It is the most bland It's Adam.
It's supposed to be a magical moment.
It's Adam twirling around like a ballerina. A burst of light comes up behind him, and the sword flashes, and boom, he's He-Man. Okay.
Yeah. I already said it. I don't know why Marlena's hair is blue. and then just the convenience of the fact that they're fighting on the entrance of the ship. Like, oh, that makes it easy for us to
get you guys both in here. They actually fight onto the ship. It's not just that they're fighting in front of the ship. They basically somersault each other into the damn ship. They close the ship, and then they fly off into the time stream.
Yep. All right. So anything else that you liked or disliked about this first episode?
Can we skip to episode 109 of the podcast, please?
No, we've got to go through this, apparently. We got to be completists. So let's award some hardware for the first time in this series. Havoc staffs for anybody, Mike?
Everybody. That's probably what I'm going to say every single time. Honestly, seriously. Havoc staff to the animation people for the design of Eternia for most of the, like, Snake Mountain looks like crap. I'm sorry. Snake Mountain does not look like an imposing place at all. Skeletor for his lame brain gray Hulk skull looking design. Whoever the hell came up with the damn catchphrase, I'll give you a Havoc staff every fucking episode that we talk about. Oh,
but
God.
It's the power of good and the way
I
of magic.
I don't even give a shit.
With the power of the good and the way of the magic.
Like, seriously, this is just god awful.
And when did He-Man have, I guess he's magic because he transforms into He-Man, but like, it's not like he has magical powers outside of that. He has the sword, which is powerful, but the sword's not supposed to do what it does in this series either.
Like, I don't mind He-Man having pants. It's better than having a loincloth most of the time. But they couldn't give him some sort of chest protector. They just give him, like, an over... It's almost like he has a Green Arrow scabbard on his back with arrows in it. Obviously, it's for the sword, but, like, his design... Maybe they were going for more of a streamlined thing? I don't know, but his design is just... Whoever the hell designed this version of He-Man gets a Havoc staff. Oh, God.
Yeah, I have Havoc staffs for everyone involved in character design.
Yep.
So anybody that designed any of these characters is a Havoc staff. And just for the low-rate animation, drawing, like, artistic ability that goes into this series. Even, you can say all you want about Filmation using stock footage and this, that, and the other. At least it looked pleasing to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this stuff looks like a third grader did it.
Yep. And a third grader could probably have done better. Now, if you ever decide to waste your money and buy the DVD sets, I do know there are special features on them that the creators explain. We might be able to find them on YouTube or somewhere, I don't know, but like I said, if you ever, which I hope you never do.
I almost did it just to have them so I could watch them and use them for this, but I'm almost glad I didn't just based on the first three episodes. But I do have one power sword. I'm going to give a power sword to Master Sebrian because he was about the only character that I kind of liked out of the new ones right away. Mm. I thought he was kind of a cool guy.
Yeah, I'll give him a power sword too. He's not that bad.
How many Galactic Guardians are you going to give this one?
One.
I am at two. Just because I'm trying to be nice because it's the first episode.
Nope, so. I'm sorry. Look, it's not even about nostalgia, folks. If you tell me New Adventures of He-Man and it's supposed to be this big, epic, you know, mysticism, magical space adventure, you better come out of the gate with something more than this. I'm not going to be nice with this series.
No, the reason I'm trying to be nice is because there's a... whatever, 765 episodes to get through. Mm-hmm. And if I start any lower, I'm not going to have any lower to go. So, yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, maybe it'll get better for episode 2, Quest for the Crystals.
Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic.
All right, next up is episode 2, A Quest for the Crystals. Air date somewhere around September 11th, 1990. Still written by Jack Olesker, as we mentioned in the first episode. Here we have Skeletor, who has Slushhead take pictures of different areas on Primus. An ambitious counselor of Primus called Werban is telling the scientists of Primus that they waste their time with Sebrian's idea of time travel. Just then, Sebrian and Mara enter with He-Man and introduce him as the new savior of Primus. Just then, they are informed of an attack by a mutant fighter on the Oasis where Drissi and Kaz are. He-Man races off to save them. And the main thing here is that the crystals are needed to help this machine that keeps Primus at the right temperature. So Primus is going to heat up and explode or melt everybody if He-Man can't get these crystals, and it's all a trap for Skeletor to try to lure him into this this place. So what did you think of the ongoing here? Now we have Skeletor completely with the mutants, we have He-Man with the Primus people, and now Skeletor is trying to lure him into a trap.
So let me get this straight. Primus is now Krypton and it's going to blow up. Okay then.
Pretty much. They need the Trifusium crystals. They have to go to Gorn City to get them.
Yeah. It's an alright plot. They're doing something. They're giving something to, you know, for the heroes to have to do something. It feels very Star Wars-ish, like, you know, going to Tashi Station and picking up power converters or something, but I don't
know. Yeah, it's obviously the first way that Skeletor is going to try to defeat He-Man. So, you know, now we have them in their trenches, and now he's going to come up with plan after plan to try to defeat He-Man. So this mm-hmm. is just step one of that. They just keep throwing more and more characters at us, though, and I don't know any of them yet, especially the mutants. Outside of Slushhead and Flog, I don't know who any of these other people are in the background. Like, some of them look cool, some of them have spoken already, I don't know who they are, I don't know any of the stories of any of them, and it's like we have the main group of Sebrian, Kaz, Drissi, and Mara. But then there's, like, the scientists, then there's the droids, now there's other people that are talking to the scientists. Like, there's a lot of people that we've been introduced so far in two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to keep track right off the bat. Maybe we'll learn who some of these people are. And we're speaking of the voices. The two droids, did they intentionally try to make them so similar in voices? Like, and it's like a synthesized voice type thing or whatever, but it's almost like they went with the same effect on both droids and just did them at different pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. Like, I get it with one of them would be cool, but when they made it with both of them, at first it was hard for me to keep track that there was two different droids. Because they sound so weird.
We need to spend a little time on Jack Olesker, the writer here, because I've found him on IMDb. His other credits include Beverly Hills Teens.
Excellent. Nostalgic show there.
Apparently, he wrote 10 episodes of Mask.
That doesn't surprise me. That's where I've seen this name before.
Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats.
Okay.
The Care Bears Family.
Okay.
The Littles.
All right.
Did you ever like the Get Along Gang?
I love the Get Along Gang.
Yeah, well, he wrote 12 episodes of that.
See, and I don't think the writing's that bad. Like,
no, yeah, no. Well, you had asked earlier if I had known of this writer, and no, I did not.
The writing's the least of the problem so far.
Obviously, yeah.
A lot of characters, but they're probably being told that they have to throw a bunch of these characters in here, so I don't know.
Yeah, the last thing he did was a video short, and I don't know if the man's still alive or not. I did not find him on Wikipedia. Last thing he did was in 2004 called Little Angels, The Brightest Christmas. It was a video short. Before that, King Arthur and the Knights of Justice, which is a video game in 95. So he was
very busy in the 80s and 90s, but not so much.
Yeah.
All right, so it's just a generic kind of plot for a two-parter of a five-parter, or the second part of a five-parter, so that's kind of weird. But is there things that stood out to you for this one? Things you like, things you dislike?
I'll give Slushhead one joke, Mutant Magazine. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, I can't tell yet if I'm going to like him or dislike him.
I'll get to that. Was it in
episode 3? He plays a bigger part.
Yeah.
In this episode, I did not like him necessarily, but I don't know if it's going to be that way or if he's going to become the comedic relief or, you know, because I like Merman, so I kind of like that angle, but, and it's interesting, he's got water in his mask, like, I get that, but this episode he wasn't good at.
Wasn't this the episode where he was rhyming the whole time?
Yes, he did rhyme in this episode.
Okay, so it was this episode, and I'm like, wheelie almost much?
Singing.
Yeah, wheelie much? That's all I thought of was wheelie.
Oh, yeah, I will like him more. I just, for my Palace of Eternos moments, I guess, I don't know what we're going to eventually call this, but I like how evil Skeletor is. I've talked about that already, but I do like the plotting, the manipulation, the control, the evil tone. He's not so much of a jokester in this one. Not that I liked what Alan Oppenheimer did and the jokester that we got in Filmation, but this is a different side of Skeletor, and I'm fine with that, so I'm not upset with how evil he is, but that's really all I have. Anything you liked about this episode?
Other than Slushhead's joke, nope.
All right. Anything that stood out on a negative aspect, or was it just kind of a generic episode for you?
No, there's plenty. So Drissy or whatever the hell her name is, I don't know. Apparently she has Shira's power of being able to talk to animals.
Yes.
So there's that. Ugh.
Maybe it was going to be a future spinoff. Why do we have Drissy and Mara? Why do we need two?
Plus her kid brother, whatever the hell, Kaz or Cass or whatever the hell his name is. Because apparently he is now the Orko of this series because he doesn't listen to...
He's the fucking kid from Mask is what he is.
Yeah.
Scott.
My frustration with Skeletor is just going to increase. Damn it, Skeletor, just take over already. Good lord.
He has to wait. He has to manipulate this situation until it works. It's like a very plodding thing. He's got to let Flog eventually be like, okay, you need to lead, because then he'll have everybody's control.
The robot's name is Gleep, ? As
Gleep,
in like
you are.
Okay, Gleep. That's what I thought. I thought it was Gleep, because I'm thinking like the monkey Gleek from Wonder Twins again.
And the other one is U.R.
Yeah, and all I can think of is XR from the Buzz Lightyear cartoon in the late 90s. Now
it's weird because they keep saying it, and UR. I mean, those are two words: YOU and ARE. Mm-hmm. You know, so it keeps sounding like they're saying, like, hey, you are doing this, but it's you are is the name.
Yeah.
It's very confusing to listen to them reference him.
I guess I should have put this in my positive moments, but it's still bad storytelling, I guess. I don't know. At least the bad guy won't fight a kid. I mean, that's...
Yeah, he had a heart. He lost his child.
Yeah.
He was gonna save the kid. I thought that was an interesting moment.
The Medal of the Good and Right. What the fuck?
The power of the good and the way of the magic.
Stop. But seriously, the Medal of the Good and Right. Like, real... What the hell kind of line is... what do you got?
They want everybody to know that this is a story about good versus evil.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Anything else for you? Snake Mountain moments or mutant moments? Mutant moments. There we go.
There you go. No, what about you?
Nothing on this episode. I was never triggered to write stuff down for this episode. It was just like, I was just watching it and nothing struck me either way. So I did have some people, though, that deserved some punishment.
Okay.
And that would be Kaz.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, he stows away onto the ship.
Yep.
Then, after he's caught, and now He-Man's going to be, or Adam, whoever form he was in, was going to be walking to, you know, to try to get these crystals, then he's there, too. Mm-hmm. And he's even not listening to direct orders from He-Man. So, like, kid, don't be where you shouldn't be. And then Slushhead, I just think he failed because he's supposed to be out there taking pictures, and instead he tries to attack and do all this other stuff and ends up, you know, messing things up. So he should just follow two people that should follow the damn orders. Follow your orders. Follow your instructions. You're not the leaders.
As always, Havoc staffs to everybody in general. But yeah, I'll give one to Kaz as well, because he listens about as good as, you know, Snarf and Scott and T-Bob and...
Pretty much. I also had one good thing. I did like Skeletor enough to give him a power sword. So I thought he was evil. I like what he's doing with kind of manipulating his way to the top, and I'm waiting to see where he finally gets there. But I liked him enough to say Skeletor's pretty good. What about Galactic Guardians on this one?
Nope.
None?
No, nothing stood out. Nope.
What about a rating?
2.5.
2.5 for you? All right, I'm not too much different. I gave it a 3. It's just kind of middle of the road for me. Nothing that pissed me off, so I guess that's a positive. All right, one more break, and we'll come back for our final episode today. Episode 3, Melissa McCarthy in the Heat.
Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic.
Sir, I don't understand. I've closed more cases than any agent here.
You are a solid agent, but you're not a team player. None of the other agents like you.
Wait for my 3 count. 1, 2. Unbelievable.
You got a situation in Boston. I'm sending you up.
FBI, we recently got intel that you brought in a dealer, Terrell Rojas.
Hey, look who's here!
Detective Mullins isn't back from lunch yet.
I'm sure he won't mind.
Well, he's a she.
Oh, it's on! She's crazy!
I'm Special Agent Sarah Ashburn. Are you about to be interrogated by an officer?
I am an officer, and that's my perp.
Could you just close the door on the way out?
I'll shut the door on you. Will you lay down here, put your head in the door, and I'll slam it about 157,000 times.
Aw, girl, you better run.
I'm gonna make you bend over, and I'm gonna reach up into your pocket and get the keys to your house. And then I'm gonna drive there and stab you with your own badge. That's what I'm gonna do.
Let's loosen that up.
Surprise!
Come on, man!
Yeah. Bull in China shop!
What part of out do you not understand?
You wanna go out?
We'll take you out.
Ah, I can't hold you!
Alright, let's pull him up. Come on.
No, wait, I'm not kidding anymore, really. I can't lift him up.
Ah. He's alright, right? The metal car broke his fall? That was pretty awesome.
You are killing us out there. You don't fit in.
I am a federal agent.
What are those?
They're Spanx. They're Spanx. They just hold everything together.
Why? What's gonna come popping out?
All right, last up today is The Heat, somewhere around September 13th, 1990. Same writer. With the Trithuzium crystals now safe on Primus, the planet scientists are ready to begin repairing the Trithuzium generator.
Why do you want to say Trilithium?
I don't know. It must be something. Is that a different thing? That's a different
I
show.
I think so. I think is it Star Wars or...
I don't know.
I don't know. It's...
Somebody tell me why Trilithium is in my head. But Skeletor captures them and imprisons them in the... That's not what they called it. They didn't call it the Quagmire Swamp, did they?
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. Why did I not put that together that it's Quagmire.
Whatever. I don't know.
Anyways, they're in the swamp that's run by Quagmire, and will He-Man be able to rescue them before Primus overheats? So they need these scientists to fix the generator, but Skeletor has captured them because apparently you can beat you can be successful if you just blow the whole planet up, including yourselves. So, you know, we have the same old people. We have all these annoying scientists, which we haven't talked about yet. We got He-Man, Sebrian, Mara, Kaz, all those guys, Flipshot, Hydran. And then we mainly have Skeletor, Flog, Slushhead, and then some nameless people. There's other mutants. We just haven't learned who they are yet. But they talk and they fight in this episode. So what did you think of the combination of, you know, continuing this whole idea of the crystals that happened in the episode before? So we do have some direct continuity between episode 2 and episode 3, kind of a continuation of that story. What did you think?
I will say again, as I said it before a little bit with Gary Chalk, I will say I do enjoy him voicing He-Man. I do enjoy Campbell Lane voicing Skeletor. I have the BTVA page pulled up, but I'm not looking at it, so I don't know who voices Slushhead off the top of my head. But I love Scott McNeil as Flipshot. Because I wasn't sure what voices were going to be in this. Again, I haven't watched the damn show in 27 years. I've paid absolutely no attention. I kind of knew Gary Chalk was in here, but so some of the voices are really cool. As far as this episode goes, quit ripping off Superman, man. I mean, come on. That's really what I felt like. Oh, we're going to overheat the planet. We're either going to let it explode and be destroyed, or we're going to take it over by not, you know, allowing people to use the central air. I'm like, really? Seriously? Come on now.
Ted Cole did Slushhead.
Okay.
So that is the
Don't know who that is, but okay.
I don't know about the scientists. Like, they're annoying the piss out of me.
All of the scientists, what were there, four of them, five of them?
Yeah.
They're all different personality versions of Orko.
But the problem is they talk over each other so much.
Yeah.
It's like listening to a bunch of kids bicker.
Yeah.
And they do have some of them are trying to do interesting things with the voices and whatnot, but it's just like they're coming across as an annoying group because there's too many of them, there's too many voices, and it's happening all at once. So I don't necessarily know about that. The other thing that happened, it might have happened actually in last episode, but we didn't talk about it, but the Starship Eternia was unveiled as this epic starship / weapon that they've been not using because weapons were banned on Primus or whatever the deal was. So now they're cruising around on the Starship Eternia, and it's usually Hydran, Flipshot, and He-Man.
Yeah, was it this one or the first one that they? No, it was this one, I think, where they were trying to get. No, it was the last episode. I can't. Shit all runs together for me, folks. I'm sorry, but wasn't the last episode the one where they were trying to get through the shield or something, or holes in the shield or whatever? The first thing I thought of was, holy hell, where's President Scroob with his can of air? Because, like, seriously, this is 1990, folks, okay? You have so many... everyone said it, we've even said it. He-Man and She-Ra... specifically Secret of the Sword. It's essentially Star Wars. Kind of, sort of, but not you know what I mean? It's,
right.
You know, loosely based on that kind of thing. You know, the two kids, two twin children. Yeah. And this, so far, these three episodes, they're trying to mash up various plots of various other elements of various other pieces of media, whether it be Krypton exploding, you know, overheating, whatever. Whether it be, you know, having an air shield over Druidia, and I'm just like, no, stop.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy that they're kind of connecting it to the last episode, and I do enjoy the fact that we're going to see more of the mutants, but that we still don't know their names or what their story is or what their powers are, so that's kind of eh. But, again, it wasn't an episode that pissed me off.
It was just bad. I mean, it wasn't even middle ground. It's just there, but it's there. It's not even, like, I can look at a middle ground episode of any other cartoon and say it's easily a 2.5 or a 3, but this, for me, is on the point of really bad. because there is nothing there. Because they do nothing with it. And I don't see how any of these three parts are part of a larger five-part story. I do not... Maybe the first episode a little bit, but...
Yeah, I'm going to have to wait and see what the next two episodes are to see if that's some type of overall story and then where they go from there, because it just seems like it's just the first five episodes of the series. It doesn't seem like it's some type of overall story here.
No.
I do like the opening voiceover that they've been doing, where they kind of catch you up with everything. I mean, it's not like the actual voice acting in it's not spectacular, but I do like that they're catching me up, because otherwise I'm lost because I'm not paying enough attention, apparently.
I thought I was lost with episode 3 when they did the recap. No, seriously, when I started watching episode 3, I'm like, okay, we get the introduction, New Adventures of He-Man, Power of the Good, Way of the Magic, all that BS catchphrase crap. And then they open with, like, so this happened. And I'm like, wait, what happened? And I just finished watching the second episode, and I'm like, wait, what, huh? Right. Oh, it's a catch-up. See, if you're going to put some mustard with the ketchup, you need to put the ketchup before. Like, and I get it. It's 1990. They're not doing what shows and cartoons and things do today. Most cartoons today will put previously on before the opening title sequence now. And I get it. You know, 27 years ago, they weren't doing that. But the way that it opened in episode 3, it felt like I was missing something. It felt like it was catching me up, but it also felt like I have no idea where this story is going. And then I realized, oh, it's a
So I know you're not high on this episode, but any Primus moments? Let's go with Primus moments and mutant moments. Any Primus moments that you liked about this episode?
Nope.
All right. I'll just say I do somewhat like the combination of Hydra and Flipshot and He-Man. I mean, they haven't had a lot of interaction yet, but I think that could be an interesting trio of people and see how they get along and how they interact with each other. So maybe that's something to look forward to, even though it's not necessarily just based on this episode, but I could see like seeds of something that could be good between the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that there's these various mutants, and I'd like to get to know more about them, and I'd like to get to know their names. So maybe that'll happen at some point. As far as mutant moments for me, this is when I actually wrote it in the script, so I will say it, but Power of Good, Way of Magic. This is the point so far where it got to the third episode, and I'm like, this is going to be a thing. This is going to be something that we're going to have to hear over and over again. So I had to finally write it down as a moment.
It's almost like, you know, Good Journey. That's really what it's almost. Yeah. It's almost like the Masters movie from '87.
I did think that there's definitely some herky jerky animation going on here. Almost like awkward pauses or just like not fluid movements, where it seems like it's not all timed up well. I don't know if it's an editing thing or if it's an actual animation thing, but it's definitely subpar. I already talked about the droid robots being a little bit too similar, and then also the powers that he has with the sword to do different things. It's
a flashlight.
Yeah, I don't know how to get that. So that's it for me about any mutant moments.
You talked about the animation. The orange scientist sits on the yellow, spiky-haired, bearded scientist's head. It looks like he sits on his head at one point.
Yeah.
That is just bad. I'll take any kind of discoloration or off-coloring of Optimus Prime in any episode. After watching these three episodes, and maybe I'll save that for the closing, but this episode specifically, it does. If this is supposed to be a five-parter, why would you have a one-off episode in a five-parter? Like, these three episodes really do not even, I mean, yes, the first two kind of connect to each other, but between episode 2 and episode 3, there is so much disconnected, disjointed stuff. It's like they're not even if you go back and you watch The Sword of She-Ra in the way that it was aired, the five-part with the, you know, not cut up to be Secret of the Sword, even that has more continuity than this does.
Well, I think there is some continuity between the crystals. You know, the second episode, they went to get the crystals, and now they're supposed to be using it to fix the generator. So, I mean, there is some continuity when it came to the actual plot.
Yeah.
They're just finding different ways to go and different places to visit, I guess, along, because Skeletor has to kind of get in there and try to do what he's going to do to hurt He-Man. So, any awards for you? Anything, you know, Havoc Staff, Power Sword type things?
So far, all of the scientists get Havoc Staffs. I can't stand any of those characters.
That's what I have written down as well, the scientists. So I'm right with you there. And I didn't have anybody that stood out, so I'm not giving anybody anything great.
Nope.
Although it was fun to watch Slushhead swim in the swamp. yeah, I feel like you're going to be a little bit lower than this one on me. What's your ratings on this one?
1.5.
1.5 for you. I'm at 2.5. I just think it was the middle of the road, just kind of just slightly less than the episode prior to it. So,
yeah.
So you're at a 1.5, a 2.5, and a... What'd you give the first one? A 1.
Gave the first one a 1.
1.5 and 2.5. And I was at 2.5 and 3.5. Or 3, excuse me. So not great ratings here for the first set of 3 episodes. That's for damn sure. What are your thoughts so far, sir?
Well, I think we're going to take one final break, and we'll come back after some much-needed podcast advertising after this.
We'll be right back to the new adventures of He-Man.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
Thank you for calling Fee Harmony, the service that matches you with the podcast that best fits your interests and needs.
I really hope you can help me because I have had no luck finding the perfect movie podcast that gives me everything that I want.
Well, that's my job. What are you looking for in a podcast?
Well, it needs to be a movie podcast that covers old and new stuff, one that reviews movies but also talks about movie news, discusses new trailers, and is willing just to have fun with some crazy movie games. Maybe even, you know, like the occasional top 10 countdown. Oh, and it's got to be a podcast that is willing at times to delve deep into the careers of notable directors and speak to all movie fans, from the general audience to the hardcore cinephile.
Wow, well, that's quite a resume you're looking for. What are you thinking regarding schedule? Monthly, weekly, daily?
Weekly, of course.
All right, well, let me crunch these numbers in our patented podcast matrix. Let's see what I can find for you. Wow, I don't believe it.
What is it?
We actually found the perfect match. This almost never happens.
Really? Well, dreams do come true. What is it?
It is the Cinema Geeks podcast, of course.
Well, that sounds perfect, but where can I hook up with such an awesome podcast?
Well, you can find it weekly on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Awesome. Podcast marathon, here I come.
Another satisfied customer brought to you by P Harmony and the folks over at the Cinema Geeks podcast.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes flying is going to be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Vane, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Welcome back to the new adventures of He-Man.
All right, we are back here on the Powers of Grayskull series, Masters in Space. So far, this show is anything but masterful.
So I've decided something. Okay.
Uh-oh.
You know, we always say that this is episode, you know, this is the 83rd chapter, or this is, you know, we're going to be covering the first 3 episodes, et cetera, et cetera. This is what I'm going to be doing for Masters in Space. Because it's 25 podcast episodes in total, I think is what we have it down as. So every episode, we're going to be doing a countdown. There's only 24 left, folks. So that's how I'm going to be counting through this. Not how many we're at or which episodes we're covering, how many we have left. There's only 24 podcast episodes left.
You know what? I almost, and this won't happen. I almost want us to record all 25 of these, or 24 now at this point, And just have a whole month of new adventures just to get it out of our system. Just put all 25 out on 25 days of a month.
That would be too much torture for people.
I know, right?
This is something that you almost like want to put out and don't actually like it's released, but you don't know it's released. Like it's just like a silent release. Like, hey, we did that, guys. But you know, we're not going to advertise it. No, just kidding.
That's kind of like... I've been doing podcasting almost 9.5, almost 10 years. And it's one of those things where anybody on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and this usually happens more so on Twitter than Facebook, but if somebody asks me, oh, what episode number of Tooncast Classic was this? Or what episode number of this was this? And most of the time, without even looking it up, I can remember and point it to them or you know, remember what it is and where I can search for it on geekcastradio.com and find it immediately and send it to them. I just want to forget we ever did this.
No, this will be a badge of honor that we did everything. All He-Man stuff. That was the goal.
You are not allowed to bow out of this.
No, I didn't say I was.
You might have quit Mask, but you ain't quitting this shit.
If I don't quit this, then you owe me a favor.
If I don't quit this, you owe me a favor. More like it.
There's no way we're quitting this because we have to do everything He-Man. We're going to do every series, every episode, and it's going to be a thing. So we will sludge through this. There's only 24 episodes left. So
he said sludge, and all I can think of is slush.
We're going to slush right through this. All 24 more podcast episodes. Somebody out there is going to appreciate it. Someone out there is actually going to get mad that we're not liking it more. Actually, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, probably. We're going to get... Oh, God. I can just see it now. We're going to get death threats because we hate this show.
No, I'm not saying I'm going to hate the show yet. I hate the look of the show. I'm still holding out hope that the stories are going to be good, that we're going to get some interesting, you know... plots and stuff like that, so I'm not down on the whole series yet as far as standpoint.
After these first three episodes, all hope is gone.
I'm still holding out hope. I will forever be the optimist.
Truck, not monkey, right? Thank you for listening to the Masters in Space today. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this, folks. Please leave us iTunes reviews based on new adventures.
Give us tips on how we're going to get through this.
Yeah, lots of alcohol. I think I'm going to have to go buy some Zima with some...
Oh, God.
Oh, no, no, no. I am so going to have to go buy some Zima and some Jolly Ranchers now at this point. That's right. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow the show at Pow of Grayskull. You can follow the network at Geekcast Radio. I am at TF2N Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the Space Tales to... Okay, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes of the New Adventures of He-Man, which are Attack on Onmore, or Honor, Onior, I don't know what the hell that is, The Ultimate Challenge, and Sword and Staff. For now, I am TF Joe and Michael with...
The Forever Optimist, Optimus Solo.
By the power of the magic and the way of the good, or the heel of the head, or...
What a perfect way to end the show every time. That's how we're going to get it in here. For the power of good and the way of the magic. Tune in next
Fuck
time.
Fuck off.
Tune in next time for more power of the good and more way of the magic.
Us with the power of the good and the way of the magic.